It's time for a little bit of sport, indoors and outdoors, because let's face it, with the weather in the UK, you never really know when to play outside or inside. But how about combining golf and curling? Well, you can, no matter pretty much what your disability is, and that includes if you're blind or partially sighted. Scottish Disability Golf and Curling have classes, they have tournaments, they encourage beginners, they encourage professionals, amateurs to come along and play. So to tell us more, we have with us Jim Gales. The organisation has been going from strength to strength for many, many years now, and you've brought golf and curling together. I suppose they just work, especially if we're looking at players with sight loss.
Indeed, yeah, we started way back in 2004. We've grown considerably since then. We've got over 1,000 members with all disabilities, and a fair percentage of those are blind and vision impaired people. So we used to have two separate charities, the disabled golf and the disabled curling, but being as the same people were primarily running both charities, and the golf ran from roughly March to September, and then the curling ran from September through the winter into early spring, we decided to combine them both, and we came up with the Scottish Disability Golf and Curling Charity. And when there's an overlap of the two seasons, the golf and the curling, we have our combo events, we call them, which are sticks and stones, which is quite a good thing, where we play maybe golf one day and then have a couple of games of curling the next day. It seems to be quite successful that we've got some funding from various trusts and foundations around the UK, and a little bit into Europe, actually. And what we're doing now is offering free lessons, both in the golf and the curling, for anybody who wants to maybe give it a go, and or maybe they've stopped curling or golfing over because of disability, because of an accident or whatever, and they want to just try the toe in the water, as it were, and give it a go.
So the training's there, they can get some help and support, that's free training, even if they've never picked up a golf club or a curling stone in the past. Or for, as you say, Jim, for those who maybe have lost a sight, or you know, disability has come into play, to say to them, you know, you don't have to give it up. You can come along and play, you can play for fun, it's a social event, or you can play in competitions as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good test is to go out there and get a lesson at one of the sports. And as I say, give it a try, because there's no point in going out there and saying, right, I'm going to play golf and getting all the equipment, all the latest clubs and that. 2 weeks down the line, you might not like it and you might want to change sports. So you've got all that stuff. So it's gives a chance to go along to, say, a driving range or a little golf course, mini golf, par three or something, and get the professional there to give the individual who's blind or partially sighted and their guide. We've got facilities now that the guide can get a little bit of tuition. So why should all the coaches have a laugh at all the blind and vision impaired people having a bash at it? Let the blind and vision impaired have a laugh at the coach making a mess of things. Why not, you know, get them out there? And that's part of the social aspect of it as well. I mean, you know, if it's a golf competition, for example, and we're out there 3-4 hours on the golf course, and then we'll come back in at the 19th hole at the golf and up in the restaurant or the cafe at the curling. That's where everybody gets mixed in about everybody else and has a natter and a drink and just enjoy the social side of it. That's what it's all about.
So in terms of the golf and the curling then, for sight loss, in golf and you have your partner with you that will, I take it, describe everything round about, kind of line you up for your hole, give you all the info verbally you need for the shot. Is that similar then for curling as well? They act as a kind of spotter and a guide?
Yeah, I mean, it's only slightly different, really. You know, you get your blind and vision impaired person and their guide going along to the golf, and they get up on the first tee and they've had the golf lessons and everything's sailing along nicely. The guide's job is to, if you like, paint a picture of what's out there on the course. If it's a longish hole, they're going to take maybe the driver or something and then stand there and they say, right, well, maybe change that to a smaller club because there's a big bunker out there in water. And as soon as you describe that, it's guaranteed that you'll stick your ball straight in it. I can understand that because I've been a victim of that in the past. But, you know, if they don't mention it, maybe that's a good thing as well, because you're guaranteed to miss it. But the golf, obviously, each hole is different to the next one. So for the next hole, you might just take an iron or a smaller wood, things like that. So it's a constantly changing game out there with your guide. Whereas the curling, it's a fixed length of ice every single time. So it's not so much the distance that you've got to judge the touch. You know, you've got to have a good idea of the length and the strength of what delivery you've got to make. And it all comes down to tactics and being able to get the stone as close as possible to the house. So being a fixed length, the guide's job would then be just to say, well, look, we'll just put a guard in on this particular stone and you know, put it up there, and there's no real variation of distance in that. So that's the difference between the two sports, I think.
Okay, so there's tuition there for people who want to try it out. What about sort of events and so on? Because I know we've spoken in the past, Jim, when it comes to the golf and the curling to some extent as well, the calendars tend to be really full of competitions and big events across the UK and beyond even.
Indeed, in Scotland last year, we had 60 days of golf plus everybody's golf lessons and what have you on top of that. Today, we've actually provided some 3,200 plus 30-minute golf lessons for people and dozens of curling packages even. You don't have to go to every single competition. You can take your time and pick two or three each time, or maybe one a month or things like that. So there's no force, you're not forcing people there, pushing them into things that it's what they want to take from our diary and calendar. We've got two big events coming up this year. One is the Phoenix Cup, which is a Ryder Cup style competition between Scottish team, which will be selected in August from our Order of Merit. And they'll take on a team of about 12 or 13 people from across Europe. We've got people coming from Northern Ireland, England, Germany, Holland and other countries. And that'll be followed a couple of weeks later by the Scottish Open, which is a three-round competition. Again, people coming from all over the place. And that's going to take place at Dalmahoy down in Edinburgh. And that's at the beginning of September. So there's right the way down, if you like, to single-day competitions at your local golf course. Right, the full spectrum of golf and curling opportunities across Scotland, so there's plenty there.
And the curling is, probably fair to say, a little bit newer than the golf is, so is the intention to build the curling up in the same way?
Yeah, we'd love to. I suppose the biggest target that we have is to set up a league where we'll get people of all abilities and all disabilities to form teams, and then we'll have a league which will take place a couple of times a month maybe at curling rinks. There's 22 rinks around Scotland, so there's plenty of chances to get out there and have a go. And we just, you know, would like to get that team format together, give something that would spread internationally as well, give us a chance to develop better players to travel the world and play in places like Canada and Sweden and Japan.
You have over 1,000 members, so there's no doubt that there's a desire there, but you're always looking for more people.
Indeed, yeah. Just this morning, actually, I've just had a couple of inquiries of people saying, I'm not really into the golf, but I'd like to give the curling a try. So it's there. The opportunities are there. The membership is free. We'll give everybody free lessons when they join up. And then after that, they can move on to whatever they want. Actually, as I say, you can take from the diary what you wish. And we offer concessionary games and competitions right across the year.
Jim, we're almost out of time, so if people would like to find out more about the golf and the curling and the free tuition, what's the best way to get in touch? Where can they get the info?
Well, the best way is to do a wee search on the computer and pick out Scottish Disability Golf and Curling. All our contacts are in there, from the email to the telephone, all the social media, the usual stuff like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, etc. They're all there. And you can get in touch with myself, direct, or one of our committee through any of those methods.
And let's hope more people do, Jim. We'll catch up again a bit later in the year, find out how things are going with the big competitions as well. But for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great stuff. Thanks very much for the opportunity, Alan.